Blog Talk Radio.
This is the end as we know it. In 4 days, there will be the anniversary, November 6, 1917, of how the Bolsheviks revolted and overtook Russia during World War I. This network will be the first one to announce that if Donald Trump wins, it will be a bloodless or bloody coup. We will not stand for that type of leader. Led by the Bolshevik Party leader, Vladimir Lenin, who also hid out in Finland for a while, leftist revolutionaries launched a nearly bloodless coup d'etat against Russia's ineffectual provisional government. The Bolsheviks and their allies occupied government buildings and other strategic locations in the Russian capital of Petrograd, now St. Petersburg. Within 2 days, they had formed a new government with Lenin as its head. Bolshevik Russia later renamed it the USSR, and it was the first Russian Marxist state and the first one in the world. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov was born in 1870. Lenin was drawn to the revolutionary cause after his brother was executed in 1887 for plotting to assassinate Tsar Alexander III. Lenin studied law and took up practice in Petrograd, where he associated with revolutionary Marxist circles. In 1895, he helped organize Marxist groups into the capital, the Union for the Struggle for the Liberation of the Working Class, which attempted to enlist workers to the Marxist cause. In December 1895, Lenin and other leaders of the Union were arrested. Lenin was jailed for a year and then exiled to Siberia for 3 years. At the end of his exile in 1900, Lenin went to Western Europe, where he continued his revolutionary activity. It was during this time that he adopted the pseudonym Lenin. In 1902, he published a pamphlet titled What is to be Done, which argued that only a disciplined party of professional revolutionaries could bring socialism to Russia. In 1903, he met with other Russian Marxists in London and established the Russian Social Democratic Workers' Party, RSDWP. However, from the start, there was a split between Lenin's Bolsheviks, who advocated militarism, and the Mensheviks, the minority group, who advocated a democratic movement towards socialism. These two groups increasingly opposed each other within the framework of RSDWP, and Lenin made the split official at a 1912 conference. At the outbreak of the Russian Revolution in 1905, Lenin returned to Russia. Also in 1905, Russia fought Japan and Finland. The revolution, which consisted mainly of strikes throughout the Russian Empire, came to an end when Nicholas II promised reforms, including the adoption of the Russian Constitution and established an elected legislature. However, once order was restored, the Tsar nullified most of these reforms, and in 1907, Lenin was again forced into exile. Lenin opposed World War I, which began in 1914 as an imperialistic conflict, and called on proletariat soldiers to turn their guns on the capitalist leaders who sent them down into the murderous trenches. For Russia, World War I was an unprecedented disaster. Russian casualties were greater than those sustained by any nation in any previous war. By the way, Russia lost 20 million in World War II. The Russian economy was hopelessly disrupted by the costly war effort, and in March 1917, riots and strikes broke out in Petrograd over the scarcity of food. Demoralized army troops joined the strikers, and on March 15th, Nicholas II was forced to abdicate his power, ending centuries of Tsarist rule. In the aftermath of the February Revolution, power was shared between the weak provisional government and the Soviets or councils of soldiers and worker committees. Why am I bringing this up? Because a bloodless coup has happened in America, on the verge of a bloody coup. Lenin tried to establish a classless society where no major entrenched power had an advantage over the other. In other words, Russia was similar to a royal monarchy in which the czars ruled for hundreds of years. Once that family was wiped out, the origins of the Marxist revolutions were sincere. It did not take more than 5 to 10 years, though, for it to turn corrupt. Power became centralized, and the classless state was wiped out by dominant leaders like Stalin, who wiped out the peasantry and suppressed the poor. In this election, we have a deceitful billionaire trying to shore up powerless poor, and it's a deceit, all right. He will overthrow the government, and a bloody coup will follow if he gets elected. Good evening, Gary. I didn't know it was the last night of the baseball game.
That's all right, because you don't know. Hello, folks.
Well, actually, I watched the first game. My friend from Chicago came over, and the Cubs handily lost.
And guess what? There were 6 games after that.
Well, some of my friends told me about it, that the Cleveland Indians were dominant, and then the Cubs started showing promise a few days ago.
Wow, you are well-versed. I'm proud of you.
So what's going on now? What does the rain have to do with the delay? I'm a little out of the loop. Trust me, I am.
That's all right. We understand the rain delay means that the game is supposed to it's suspended or postponed because it's raining.
And so when was it supposed to be?
Yeah, it's out of the rain delay. The Chicago Cubs scored 2 runs and are leading 8-6, one out in the bottom of the 10th. So that means that Cleveland Indians have 2 opportunities, or at least 2 opportunities to make, 5 opportunities or 10 opportunities to make 2 runs. But
why is it 10 innings if it's not tied?
It was tied, but the Chicago Cubs scored two runs.
Oh.
Coaching, terrible managerial from my point of view. He walked a Rizzo, who was a power batter, had good numbers against the pitcher, Brad Shaw. And then next thing you know, the next guy, Ben Zobrist, gets a hit, and they score a run, and then they load up the bases again to try to get the double play and another hit. It's ridiculous. I would never manage like that. I used to manage Little League Baseball, and I would never allow the bases to be loaded voluntarily at any time, much less not if you are thinking you're going to get a ground ball that will be a double play.
Can we compare this to a political suicide?
Yes. That's exactly what I would compare it to. I always like to have outs. You know, when I'm out canvassing, good example. When I'm out canvassing, you always want to be able to know the next walkway or gateway or whatever the case may be that you're going to either before you leave that previous house or right after. That's your very first thing after logging in, is looking at your route. You have to look at the route beneath, and when you load the bases in hopes of a highly improbable double play with the infield in to try to promote a double play even more easily, then you are just taking your odds and you're gambling. And this was a gamble that has failed. It looks like it might fail for the Cleveland Indians, and the Chicago Cubs will be the 2016 World Series champions.
Well, I want them to be because they haven't been there since 1908.
108. Now, he just, oh, my goodness, the pinch.
What I could do is I could read more of my document if you want a two-minute break to watch. Can I
do
that?
No, that's all right. Let's talk about Lennon because there's not much to talk about. He did his thing. What is it that you wanted to portray?
Before I started on that note tonight, because it happened November 6, 1917, we're close to the anniversary date, I had an overwhelming heartfelt depression tonight about the election because InfoWars, the one that Albert watches, like RT News and InfoWars, they're railing on Hillary Clinton. Hillary had an awesome rally tonight with the Native population in Tempe, Arizona. I just think the media is hyping the closeness of the race. I really don't believe there's that many swing voters the last 2 weeks that go from one pendulum to the other. I did talk to two people when I was canvassing on the poll.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, how can anybody be that fickle?
They're fickle because the information coming out is overwhelming. This woman should have been in jail 20 years ago. If you, Hillary Clinton.
20?
20 years ago. If you know about the Bush, Clinton drug deals, the cartels that they deal with, with the military and everything, you know, they're proteges of Preston Bush and George Bush Sr. George Bush Sr. is the worst man on the planet. He's worse than anything you can ever imagine.
I disagree.
That's all right. You can disagree. You don't know. Just look up Clinton Bush connection or whatever you might want to look at because this is they are the patriarchs right now of everything, the Bush clan. But anyway, what was it?
What are the Bushes haven't even been prominent in the scene.
No. Prescott Bush was he aided in the beginning of World War II. And you know.
Okay, I thought you were talking about George Bush 41. I know Bush was corrupt.
Yes, his dad was corrupt too, worse than him. And then they taught George Sr. to be just a killer. He just kills people, and he taught the Clintons how to kill people. These people just kill people. I don't even know what you guys are thinking.
You know what?
But, okay,
can I tell you something?
Go for it.
Norman Schwarzkopf's father was one of the people who put the Iranian leader Mossadegh in a house arrest, because Mossadegh kicked the British oil company out of Iran. And he was the first major Middle East power from the 1950s on to resist European authority. Now, Prescott Bush is corrupt because they believed in white elitism and manipulating business and government behind the scenes. I don't know a lot about Prescott Bush, but I know that he was a white elitist.
Well, why do you think that he wouldn't have taught his children?
I just don't think George W. Bush Sr. was a killer. He was a very efficient in the CIA. I've read articles that he was a lot more competent than his son George W., and that he had a pretty clean slate.
It depends on what competency is. If you are out to essentially engage in, I won't say mass theft, war. You're just sucking out all the money from war. That's what it's all about. And, you know, that's why Bush W and Cheney were so good together. They only suck out. That's why they manipulated and began were in on 9/11. They needed a war. They needed something because that is their legacy. That is their business. So these guys.
I know all about Halliburton. I know all about the secret oil pipeline. They were planning to build from like Uzbekistan to Afghanistan down through the Central Middle East. I know about all that. It doesn't make anything better though, right at this particular moment.
No. It does make it better because it makes it better to know that we're on our own. We don't have a government. We don't have anybody who is looking after us but us. That's all we
have.
Well,
that's an excellent point.
Chicago Cubs are your 2016 World Series champion.
Really?
All right,
awesome. That's awesome.
Yep. It's awesome for some people. I'm from Milwaukee, so whatever. But
well, you know what, Don? They're only 40 miles from Milwaukee, Chicago.
94, honey. Get it right. Wow. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Pat went and saw Elizabeth Warren, and she gave her a big hug along with Catherine Cortez Masto's. And she's got pictures. Maybe we'll send them out to you. But she'll see them on Facebook. So I'm absolutely sure. But
behind in the polls. Comrade John Yoder has just joined us.
He
missed. John Yoder, you missed. You're not in the loop yet, but I started out the show saying that there would be a bloodless or bloody coup if Trump wins. And I read three paragraphs of manuscript from Vladimir Lenin, who threw a coup against the Tsar in Russia in November 6, 1917. We can only help to celebrate that victory. It's going to be 100 years of victory in a year if we overthrow Trump. Here is John, let's see what he has to say. Good evening, John.
Wow.
This is a factless program today. Jane has not hit a fact yet.
Well, that's kind of par for the course, though.
Don just announced that the Chicago Cubs just became the world champions in a 10th inning
brouhaha. That is, well, the times are changing, you know. I guess Jane is upset because probably the gal from CNN with Brazil isn't around to leak the debate questions for her, probably.
Yeah, that was upsetting because Donna Brazil is one of the calmest people I've ever seen on TV. She worked for PBS for years, and I never thought she was sneaky.
And the assistant attorney general giving heads up to Podesta and, like, you got to take care of those emails. That sounds like it's a little bit of in-house cooperation.
Why don't you just call like it is? Graft and corruption. That's exactly what it is. That's a part of the politics. You guys have not been looking at the sausage being made. This is ugly. It's not a pretty
sight. I don't care how big FBI James Comey sausage is. I'm going to dare him on national radio. I'm forming a bloodless coup if Donald Trump wins. I will not bring a gun, but I'll bring a Nerf gun with an orange stripe on it.
Well, that's because you'd rather see Anthony's wiener.
Yes,
I could care less about that dude.
That dude is the one you got to watch out for. Those emails that I'm on.
I sleep with Donald Trump Jr. before him.
That Wiener's stuff is going to be more damaging to Hillary than almost anything, because that connects to Texas guy who worked for Hillary before and his wife running for the Senate with that $500,000 that could really mess up the whole thing, the Clinton Foundation, everything. That's the one that we're going to have to be watching out for.
Wow, so...
Uh-huh.
Is this the case of a smoking wiener?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. A girl on Twitter wrote, Donald Trump has 73 pending lawsuits. He has a federal court date for a rape of a 13-year-old, and he's being sued by Trump University. Why in the hell are they talking about emails?
Because Hillary is worse than Donald Trump. Believe it.
Bullshit.
If Donald Trump releases his taxes, we'll see the mob involvement.
Well, let's put it this way. Imagine if you had two neighbors living in your community. They wanted to be on the board of directors to represent you. And one of your neighbors is a kind of a wild man, swinger. He has a couple girlfriends. He goes out to clubs. He does a lot of stuff. He gets around town. And you kind of go, okay, I don't know if I want him on the board because he doesn't have the cleanest rep. And then you have another neighbor who wants to be on the board. And this one, actually, during her job, what she does is she takes away money from you every year, thousands of dollars. And she puts your businesses out of commission where you can't get work. Who are you most worried about? The guy who's kind of got a bad reputation, or the person that's ripping you off and basically just taking money, embezzling from you? I mean, when it gets to my pocket, I mean, the last two companies I worked for went out of business. The company I'm working for is teetering to survive. And, you know, the Clintons seem to have gone very profitable during this time period, making deals with other countries. Donald, on the other hand, you know, he's making money the old American way. He's ripping off people, but he's your basic businessman who's using his loopholes, and he's using, you know, he's playing the game. So I wouldn't be excited about either, but I definitely am not. I'm more threatened by Hillary than Donald Trump's sexual escapade.
What could Hillary do, John?
you threw the sexual escapades in as an afterthought.
John, if Donald Trump wins, he'll take your First Amendment rights away, and he'll arm his minions with Second Amendment guns.
Well, is that a question?
Not really. It's a prediction.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, that's pretty well put. You just have to redo it a couple words here and there. It might sound a little smoother. But, yeah, no, we've got a situation here where this guy is trying to push the right buttons all of a sudden. But if we look at how he got here, it was one of the ugliest things. And you know, the one thing is that black people were the only ones that were spared. That was the funny thing about this whole primary, this whole 2 years. Is that he talked about everybody. He talked about white people. He talked about Hispanics. He talked about women, gays. He talked about everybody but black people. That's funny.
John, I'm just wondering if you're out there with your creaky knees every day, climbing steps and knocking on doors in your senior years, why would you assault Hillary Clinton verbally and indirectly support Donald Trump?
Because we've got to get this third party going. These people are, I don't want anybody to be mistaken. I don't want anybody to think that this is all right. This is not all right. Let me tell it to the people. Let me repeat my motherfucking self. This is not all right. When things are not all right, that's when I jump up and I start making things happen. And there are things that need to happen. And I need to get in the candidate grooming business or whatever that may be entailing, then that's what might have to happen. So that's why I promote right now John Fitzgerald Johnson, and I will be talking to Jeff and see what his aspirations may be. But if you know here, then Nevada, as I said, we're a purple state. We're extremely receptive to having a new face or a new party or a new style come into vogue, and we have no problem putting those activities into action, because we will throw whatever money we've got and a whole lot of money we don't at whatever.
Well, John has limited time tonight. I just want to point one thing out. I agree with some things that you say, but the fact of the matter is by you're deferring to 2020 already when this race isn't even over. So that makes you you're a passive human being. You're not taking the bull by the horns, because I was disappointed when George W.
Are you crazy? I'm out there fucking walking for Hillary every fucking day. Are you out of your mind? I'm up there dealing with Catherine Cortez Mastos when this P owes me. She owes me damn near, she owes me years. She owes me some part of my life. I'm not talking bullshit here, woman. You are out of your freaking gourd.
Well, you just said you're going to support John Fitzgerald Johnson.
In 2020 or 2024. When we are ready, right now, there is no option. And the option that we do have, we're going to have to transform this lady 180 degrees when she gets in, if she gets in office. You know, this is something I'm so glad for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump.
I apologize, but you know what? She has repented.
No. Oh, I'm going to hang this phone up. Thank you, John. It was nice talking to you. You're real. Fuck me. You can erase this whole damn show. You are out of your gourd, Jane. you are really sick. This is whatever you just said. She has repented.
You know what? Go ahead and talk. I don't care. I'm the one who pays $40 a month to hear your rant.
Okay, well, I'm not ranting. I'm trying to set you straight. There is nothing you just said. There's nothing you said since we got on this phone that has a modicum of truth.
Well, you missed the first 4 minutes about Lenin throwing over the Tsar Nicholas.
Overthrowing the Tsar here. Yeah, well, no, I listened to most of that. I was in here 2 minutes. But the bottom line is that you texted me and said you were going to play one of John's songs. That's the only reason I took that extra 2 minutes.
I did. I played too many questions, and I still have several about you.
Okay. You can have all the questions you want about me, but I'm the truth. I'm the light. You know, and that's...
I think that you are a hard worker. I do think that you've worked on the ground level for the betterment.
I'm not talking about my work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
But you do talk out of... You do talk out of two sides out of your mouth when it comes to Clinton.
No, I don't. There is no two sides. I don't... No. I can't even say I don't like the woman. I don't have any feelings towards her. She is just one of the biggest crooks of all time in America. She ranks up there with Rockefeller, you know, and the Chases. She ranks up there with all those folks.
Well, I'm depressed tonight, and I wanted to have this show so people could encourage me.
I think she'll still win. I think she'll still win, but I would hate to listen to that voice for 4 years or more. But, you know, I think it's this, you know, let's put it this way, Jane, if you were in the booth and everyone passed out or was taken out in a nuclear war and you were the only one to vote, would you still cast your vote for Hillary?
Actually, if I had been exposed to Evan McMillan 5 days before, I voted on Halloween. I've already voted. I might have voted for him.
Who the hell is Evan McMillan?
He joined the race in August 2016. He's from Utah. He's a Christian conservative, but he's very refreshing and honest. And he basically he's a Republican running as an independent to counter Donald Trump's candidacy. And he's been getting death threats from the Trump camp. And they also made up a bunch of phony robocalls about him, saying that since he's single, he's gay and all this other crap. And he had like a 35-minute interview on CNN last night. If the media would have done their job, we would know a lot more about the third-party candidates, but the media didn't do their job.
The media is doing their job. The media is controlled by five people, not even, you know, five people. And Hillary controls most of those five people. Hillary controls most of those people.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
It's funny that you go ahead, John.
I'm surprised that the probe and this all this email stuff hasn't gone away because of the people they know. It seems like she could have snapped her fingers and you know, had the right people push buttons. I mean, I guess they tried, but it's amazing how much traction this is getting.
Yeah, you know what, John? A lot of the legal analysts on CNN are trashing Comey, but if Obama was as scandalous as Richard Nixon, because Richard Nixon fired one of the attorneys that was doing an investigation on him before they set up that three-panel committee to investigate corruption. So Obama could just turn around and fire Comey, but that would make him look bad.
Well, I guess they covered all the bases except for their wiener. That's what happened. Like, in other words, you know, it came in a way that they really didn't totally flush out, you know, with Huma and her boy toy.
Well, I think in the long run, like you told me on text the other day, the government timetable is a lot more slow and prolonged than the election. That it might take him 6 months to review all those emails. The only thing I can give Don Gallimore credit for is that he said as early as February of 2016 that Hillary will be in jail by the time the election ends. So I'll give you some credit, Don.
Well, no, I'm wrong. I'm never wrong. But I'm wrong this time because she's not in jail. That's the problem. So
But you're right. You're right because the problem is still present.
Oh, no, the problem is going to be present for the first 2 years of her presidency. If she's not in jail by the first 2 years, she's not going to jail, period. You know, so the nuances are the things that are, you know, she's got nuances in all of these things that are just kicking her butt, and that they're going to keep coming up and coming up and coming up.
Yeah, she won't go to jail. I mean, unless she wants to because she's lesbian and, you know, she may want some of the action there, but I don't think she does. I doubt she'll get that close to. But, you know, what's interesting is that Clinton, you know, Bill, his wife is a lawyer, Hillary, and that Obama's wife, Michelle, is a lawyer too. You know, I'm surprised she didn't have her bases covered better for being a lawyer.
Well, I think part of it, John, was because the WikiLeaks and the Russian hacking.
She did do a great job. Why do you think she's not in jail? Because she's an outstanding lawyer.
Well,
wow.
Hillary Clinton's a lawyer too, and it was my understanding that John Podesta told her to erase the remaining emails that they did not ask for. That's what my understanding is.
Okay.
By the way, John, we haven't played New Way in a long time, so I'm going to play that to end the show. But look, can I ask you guys a question? Okay.
Go for it.
I decided today, it's a twofold question. I decided today that I have put too much energy into this election. I was devastated in 2000 when Bush and Gore were tied for a month and nobody knew the outcome, and it took a heavy toll on me. I'm turning it over to my higher power. I don't want to care anymore. I just want to live my life.
Wow, you're not putting your fertile eggs in one basket? That's amazing. I think you just have to
long time ago.
Roll with it.
No,
yeah,
but I'll put my fertile eggs in a sperm bank with you.
Wow.
Who is that for, him or me?
Well, Don's
well
got
what
so
we
many...
could do is we'll merge John's conservative egg with sperm with Jane's left-wing egg, and then we'll mutate it with a Don something.
It'd be the smartest half Mexican in the whole wide world, huh?
And he'll be able to slam dunk and play basketball.
Exactly. That would be cool. Hey, did you see Vasquez over there? Vasquez just did a 360.
I just read an article that twins can come from two different fathers.
Really?
Oh, yeah, of course. It depends on when the sperm hits that egg. If you got a girl in a gangbang or an orgy, man, shoot, she could have like triplets in the altar. What? You haven't been there?
Unlike
Donald Trump, I've never had a threesome.
You're kidding.
No.
You're not kidding.
It's a sin. A threesome is
You're
a sin.
You're kidding. And
but getting
some.
Drunk
you
in college
okay.
is not a sin.
Well, that's good because then that leaves foursomes and sixsomes and eightsomes. And that's where it's
wow.
interesting.
John, it's not even 60 minutes in the show and he's already making it weird.
Who?
Well, you gave up hope. I think you have to just relax, and it's not the end of the world if Hillary's the president or if Donald's president. I mean, unless Donald hits the nuke button, these guys want to live life. They want to have money. They want to do their sex parties or whatever they do. They're not going to, they're not going to screw it up. All they're doing is milking us to live their lifestyle. So when you start worrying about the country and the fate of the world, they're going to keep things going so they can enjoy their wonderful lifestyle and all the people in Congress that they, kiss their butts. It's just a matter of how much they take out of your pocket to do it. So, don't it too much.
Who do you think buys the yachts and doggone airplanes and shit? It ain't you and me. It's these guys who are in the politics and in corporations. That's it. Nobody else is stockbrokers.
And they want to keep it going. That's all they want to do. Keep the good times rolling. They want to throw some biscuits at us. That's going to say, oh, here's Obamacare. Or like with the Trump, they'll say, let's make America great. These are little biscuits. Maybe you get an extra couple $100 off on your taxes. Or they'll come up with some little gimmick that you go, man, we're kind of like Lotto. A few of us are going to be winners here. But in the big picture, they're living the dream, and all you're going to do is you're still going to be working your job. Doesn't matter who's president, you're going to be doing your same gigs, and scraping, and your life's not going to change either way. Not significantly.
Wow.
Can I read you guys the local endorsement for a president?
Oh, go for it.
It may be safe to say that this is one of the most embarrassing, complicated, painful election cycles our country has seen in a long time, probably the worst of the century, probably the worst ever. Choosing who to endorse was definitely equally as terrifying and complicated for our editorial board. At this point, we've literally discussed Pedro, the fictional character in Napoleon Dynamite, and Vermin Supreme, the eccentric candidate who has promised a free pony to every American if he wins. I want a pony. Before we talk about that, though, we need to review some interesting possible outcomes. If you were awake when they covered this in school, you should know by now that our presidents are not elected by popular majority, but the Electoral College made of 538 electors who vote as a democracy, representative democracy. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to talk about how many, 270. Every state has a variety number of electoral votes based on population. The District of Columbia and 48 states have a winner-take-all rule for the Electoral College. In these states, whichever candidate receives the majority of the popular vote or plurality takes all the state's electoral votes. Only Nebraska and Maine do not follow the winner-take-all rule. In those states, there could be a split of electoral votes among candidates, kind of like a proportional one. If no candidate receives a majority of electoral votes, and it hasn't happened since 1824 when there was a four-way split, the House of Representatives elects the president from three presidential candidates who received the most electoral votes. The Senate would vote the vice president from the two vice presidential candidates with the most electoral votes. Each state delegation or senator would cast one vote in either way. If the House of Representatives fails to elect a president by Inauguration Day, the vice president-elect serves as an acting president until the deadlock is resolved in the House. We find this possibility intriguing since the political climate in our country seems to want to break away from the two-party system more than ever. Donald Trump, no, just no, racist, bigot, fascist, inexperienced pile of obnoxious, egocentric garbage, also kind of rapey. Hillary, to be fair, one of our board members voted her way. If we were in a swing state, we would probably explicitly endorse her. That being said, most of us are honestly a little scared, a little unsure if she is actually the ethically sound candidate she represents herself as. Also, scandal and accusations of rigging primary elections against Bernie, FBI investigation, there are plenty of reasons to have doubts. If the usual happens and the two-party gridlock provides us with either Hillary or Trump winning 270 delegates they want so desperately, we obviously want Hillary over Trump. Minnesota's electoral votes are almost guaranteed to go all blue to Hillary, whether you vote or not, unless too many of us actually take our advice and pick the candidate you want. Okay, I'm not going to read the Jill Stein endorsement or the other people.
What
do you guys think?
About what? Who cares about your paper?
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Should we only care about what you think?
No. You didn't let me finish. I was going to say, but the article is well written.
I kind of liked it because it was straightforward, but then they go on to discuss that guy I told you guys about, Evan McMillan. I guess there is somebody named Vermin Supreme who's promising everybody ponies.
Okay.
And Jill Stein stands with Standing Rock Reservation, environmentalism, and a variety of other of issues that the reader endorses.
Okay. So that's...
Well, then there's a doctor in the same issue who said that evolution is reversing because Trump is a nominee and that he doesn't think it's below him not to learn anything about policy or anything. He just thinks it's okay to be who he is.
And that's why I admire him. And that's why John admires him, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's just going to go in there and start swinging away and doing his thing. And what can be worse than what we've got? You know, what we have is a very compromised elite club, and they don't care about the common person. So I just look at the core things he's going to basically support. I don't look at his personal life. They're all kind of a mess. You don't know what their personal life is unless you get inside their bubble. And but basically, it's an elite club. So, you know, I basically want a more conservative government, a lot more religious.
What if he doesn't do anything he says, John? It's a recent study. Yeah.
Even if he tries, it'll be shot down by Congress. Let's say he wants to build a wall. The Congress will say, we're not going to build a wall. You know, say he wants to spend more money on the military. Congress could say, we don't want to spend money on the military. You know, same thing with conservative rights versus gay rights. Whatever he's going to say, it's just like Obamacare. It's not going to be what he's going to promise. It's going to be watered down. It's going to have to be compromised. So, you know, all this kind of fear that the sky is falling. It's not. All you're looking for in a president is a cheerleader, which Trump can do better than Hillary. Someone who's strong and aggressive against evil people, because people don't F around with a badass. You know, you think about that. You look at any job you have, any successful businessman, they're usually a badass. Your supervisor, he's a badass. He's not pushed around. No one messes with him, and that's how it is. So you want a president that doesn't get pushed around. I think he does that better than Hillary. But then on the other issues, is he smooth, you know, enough to work countries? Well, Hillary's got more experience. She's more polished, you know. So I'll give her an edge there. But the rest of the stuff. Oh, and then appointing Supreme Court justices. I want someone who's going to appoint more conservative people, which that's what Donald says he's going to do. And that's something he would have control over. Hillary's going to get more liberal judges, which I don't like. The rest of the stuff, it's just policy that Congress is going to water down or shoot down. So I'm not that worried about that.
I think you have been very on point the last two shows, and just how you're narrowing the focus on, you know, the reality of the situation. I do think that Donald Trump might try to pull a few stunts if he did get elected. I think he would like shore up the National Guard more often if there was another Michael Brown situation. And I wanted to mention to you, a recent study showed that 261 super wealthy individuals revealed that 21% had clinically significant levels of psychopathic traits, as described in the Mental Orders Manual in the American Psychiatric Association. And Gary Coles, a medical doctor, said Donald Trump falls in that category.
I hate to think where Hillary falls. And, you know, because it's one thing to be kind of a little, you know, crazy or to be just this kind of a jerk, and everyone knows it. It's another one when you're a closet, you know, manipulator, scandal covering, you know, Whitewater and Vince Foster, and you can go down the list. There's a whole bunch of stuff that Hillary's hooked to. I think that the main thing, though, is just that she used her Secretary of State status to just to really bilk the country, you know. I mean, they scammed us, basically, you know, build it.
Well,
but
why
they,
do
you
think
know,
that? Just because she had a private server and her and Bill have a fancy foundation?
Let me ask you this. Imagine if for Christmas...
Whitewater.
Whitewater was 30 years ago, Don.
So what? A leopard's not going to change his spots.
Well, here's a question. Let's say for the our Christmas show, we wanted to hire a speaker. He said, you know, I know a motivational guy. He's like $5,000. And hey, you know, that's a lot of money. But, you know, we want the show to be big time. They go, you know what, let's get a celebrity. Okay, well, you know, we have to spend $40,000. You know, well, what about a super celebrity, like a TV star, you know, like someone that's on TV every week? Well, that's about, you know, 50 to 100,000. Then you say, how about let's get someone that could come, you know, their fee is $450,000, half a million. What do you think you're paying half a million dollars to someone to speak, to come into your glee club? You know, you think they're just talking about, hey, you can be a better person? No, when you spend that kind of money, you want stuff. You want business. And that's what, who pays half a million for someone to motivate them? Unless you're like charging, you know, $100 a ticket, like, or you're Tony Robbins or something like that. I mean, what do you think they were bringing Bill into China and these other places for, other countries? And why is Hillary Secretary of State then having meetings?
So
and
I don't even know what. I don't know anything anymore. Anything I know, I no longer know.
You know the answer because $110 million later, Bill is rocking it in a non-profit corporation.
Can I say something? Let's say no matter what they do, I think they're sincere people who want to improve the world.
Improve which world? Their world is what they're trying to improve.
And maybe they just want to be do-gooders
for their bank account. I'm just saying she used the position. They did is a double team. He's on the outside, she's on the inside working the deal. And it was brilliant. I mean, I'm not faulting it. I'm just saying it is what it is. They, you know, you don't have to defend it. They just they milked, you know, just, and not just them, Congress. Congress people, the majority of them come in there with a little money or maybe a couple mil, and they walk out, you know, $500 million. And you're one of the richest people, John Kerry. You look at half of these guys, when they go in there, because they, how do they make the money? They know all the inside deals. They know where to put the money. They know what deals are going to approve. That's everything. When you're investing, when you know the move, you know the shot that's going to be, you know, what hole they're shooting towards, you can, you know when to time your money, the funds. I mean, oh, if I had that kind of information when I was playing stock market, I lost so much money because I just wasn't on the inside.
Guess what Joe Biden said when he took office as vice president? He had the least assets of any other former vice president.
Well, I hope he didn't lose his assets.
No, I guess he was in the Senate since 30 years old or 29. That's the only job he's ever done, pretty much.
Well, that's where Pat was. Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Catherine Cortez Masto. He was here. She talked to him today.
Really? That's cool. I saw him 4 days ago, you know. He was up here.
I've talked to him a few times.
He's nice, and he's very, very down to earth.
Yep.
I would like, though, to see in the back rooms, I'd love to see some of the personal phone calls and emails, but, you know, there's privacy rules, so I guess I really can't do that. But I'm just saying, for all of them, I would love to see what they say.
Become a lobbyist. You'll see those phone calls up close and personal. I'm a lobbyist, you know. I'm an apprentice lobbyist, so I'm down at the legislature trying to change people's minds all the time.
But, you know, how come you guys aren't supporting what that libertarian mayor said, that Hillary is entitled to her own privacy?
She is, but she's not when she's using a private server that for apparently, allegedly, confidential information. That's supposed to be governmentally, and that's stupid, but supposed to be governmentally monitored with their hardware. The thing is that all of it gets hacked, so it doesn't matter.
Good point. Did you know that George Herbert Walker Bush had a scandal in the last month of the race? Over some other leaked information right before Bill Clinton won.
Who did what?
George Herbert Walker Bush had some kind of leaking scandal in the last 3 weeks of the Herbert Walker Bush Bill Clinton 1992 election that cost him a lot of money.
If he used to be CIA, you could figure there's a whole bunch of bodies in his closet.
Right, he was, and as I said, he was leaking liquid heroin. That's what he was leaking.
Well, I only skimmed the article, but I didn't get all the dirt. Hey, I have a trivia question for you guys. How does Trump and his supporters know for sure that they're in the lead in the election? Can anybody answer me?
I think Newt Gingrich was saying, how could he be behind 13 points and then in 1 week, you know, switch to the lead? I think these polls are kind of up and down, and it's just a matter of who's taking them, who's getting paid to take them. I don't put a lot of credence.
Well, I have the punchline, John. The Trump supporters are all illiterate, and they inverted the numbers.
Nice.
The voting booths are rigged, right? You go to the central.
Well, I heard that there was already black voter suppression in North Carolina and some other states.
Well, there's always going to be black voter suppression. I'm talking about the numbers being names being changed. Once the ballots are cast, the ballots have to go through the local machines, but then they are all sent to a central machine, and that central machine is the one where the ballots are changed.
How do you know that?
Well, I think there was a couple of reports where they showed zero reporting in for the precincts, and they were already announcing winners, you know, in various races. It only depends on who's programming the machines and the devices, and you can put in programs to make whatever result you want if you know your stuff.
Well, you guys weren't on every show, but Albert and I did a show on Hacking Democracy, in which the Diebold, D-I-E-B-O-L-D, it was a 90-minute independent documentary. It showed how the head of the Republican Party in Texas wrote one of the Diebold executives telling him, we have it in the bag, don't worry, George Bush, you know, will take your state. So there's
right.
all kinds of corruption, even on local levels. Like this one woman, they examined these voting machines in a warehouse in Louisiana, and every time her name was supposed to be punched, somebody else's name got punched. So it showed all these different discrepancies.
Well, that's the way that they do it in Venezuela. George Soros, owns the voting booths in Venezuela or Argentina. I think it's Venezuela. And they're, I guess, last election, they found out they were rigged. But, yeah, no, this is something that is happening. And also when they're saying that people they bring across the border, give them a name, send them back. So that has, that's highly
qualified. I do think in Minnesota, I wanted to tell you guys because I voted early. We had, there's different, Canada has write-in votes. So if you don't know how to spell Obama or somebody else's name, you're in trouble because you have to write in the vote. There's no little box you color in. In Minnesota, we had a giant, it was an 8.5 by 11 ballot, two-sided. We had to color in the little circles, fold it, and put it in a sealed envelope into a box. That was for early voting. I know you guys think this sounds naive, but I don't think every single state in the country is rigged. Because Al Franken only won by 312 votes, and it took 8 months to certify him. George Bush Jr. only won by 537 votes, and it took 4 weeks to discern. So I don't know. I just don't think they're all rigged.
No, every state isn't rigged, but the main ones are.
Would you think Bernie Sanders got screwed over in California? Because Albert's adamant about it.
I'm almost sure he did. Hillary Clinton, that's why Comey's accusations were so poignant, is because they came 11 days before the election, which is against federal rules that they can't disclose something like that a 90 days or 60 days. I'm not sure the time period. But,
Hillary took the big urban areas like LA and San Francisco, but down where Albert's from, he said Riverside County was rigged.
Riverside
and
County
Stanford,
it's a red county. Riverside County is a red county. So if there are any improprieties in the voting where, let's say, the Democrats won, that is highly suspect.
Also, John, by the way, you're back on the line. I saw your call drop for a minute, but now you're back on. Why don't you say something, John, because I have to change the show description quickly.
Oh, well, I guess the main thing is just follow your heart. Try to, figure out what you want in a candidate. Not individually, but as far as in principle or in concept. And you just got to pick and choose, you can't get it all. It's like a relationship or a marriage. You're not going to have a perfect candidate, but there's certain directions that they're going. And I think the problem going independent is unless that person has a significant following, it's going to take away from probably the big candidate that you want. But on the other hand, if enough people vote independent, that would give it a lot more power and credence. And so you might look for the future. I just think the election is very crucial as far as our country, as far as it's survival for the next 10, 20 years. And by that, I mean we're just printing money like there's no tomorrow. We're majorly in debt. We don't have manufacturing or job production to remain viable in the future. Our currency's not respected where it will hold up over the next 10 years as being what it was. And I think morally we're in a decline. We're just going way too liberal. And we need to rein it back in, not be such a socialist state. And I call it big dirty. You know, it's like it's not just big money, it's big dirty, the way our legislatures work. And but we'll see. Either way, life will go on. You know, America hasn't always been on the planet. Always hate chips. And evil empire. So I'm not so caught up in this world. I'm not worried about it. I just do the best I can. No matter what happens, think about this. We all have to work. The leaders just exploit the work of the masses because they can't get rich on their own in general. They have to use a group of people and ride them. You know, the owner or the president of Sony or any big corporation, he doesn't do all the work. He doesn't answer the phones and deliver the merchandise and advertise and do all these things. He sits in the room and he directs thousands of people. So in the big picture, they're always going to need us, the sheep. And it's no matter who wins, I'm still going to be working my job and paying bills. So I'm not that worried about it. But the problem is when enough businesses collapse, there won't be jobs for the kids and for the other people in the future. You know, I'm old enough, I can live in a van, so it doesn't bother me. But most people can't do that. So
I know you have to go soon, but it said on National Public Radio today that illegal immigrants, only 10% of illegal immigrants don't work. And that they pull in $15 billion a year for our nation. So.
Well, right into my peeps.
They pay payroll taxes. They pay rent and property taxes. I know there's cheaters, like people who use fake Social Security numbers and all that. But also, there's employers on the border that like in downtown LA, they have the clothing factory where they underpay a lot of illegals and they're making profits.
It's
down by where
SOS used to
be.
Yeah. People that are trying to survive, they just happen to be on the other side of the border. If we were living over there, we'd be trying to get over here too. But I think the thing about it is that we don't need to make them enemies, but we need to work together. And by that, I mean, we do need cheap labor. We need allies. We need to work together with Mexico and with South America and so forth. There's a lot of corruption down there. But we do need to work with that or find a partner besides China, because China's not our friend. And you know, a lot of these other countries, they really don't care about America. So we need to work together. And part of that is being legal. It's when you have people coming in illegally and they're not contributing to America. They're not getting into our culture. They're just trying to use it. It doesn't advance our cause because it does erode, you know, our system too. So we have to be wise about it.
Yeah, I worked at San Fernando High School and there were a lot of parents who had 5 or 6 kids under the American system, got full welfare benefits. And the husband worked, but he didn't report his income. But the mother collected medical and all that other stuff for her kids. But eventually those kids grow up, and they're going to want more than their parents had.
Right, but they're not committed to America. You know, a lot of them. Not all, but a lot of them aren't. You know, they don't really have the American dream. In other words, when people came here from Europe, They wanted a new start. They want a new country. People are coming from Mexico illegally. Most of them, they're coming here just to get money to send back home. they don't want to stay here and make America better. Because America's already established. When the first settlers came in, there wasn't a country. This is an unknown. It was like to go out and actually claim your own land, fight for it, and to build something, to make something. This is different. You know, you come over here, this is already established. So it's just taking from here and sending it back home. And that's, I think, the issue is if people want to be here, they need to be committed to being an American.
I think some people are based on their background. Maybe they came from, you know, like where my son's dad came from, the fourth poorest country in the world. Lauren's grandma owns two houses. She has more than I do. And she came over here with six kids. Her husband was killed in the war. So some people have, they've done more than just blend in. They've made this place their own. With that, I think we should end the show now. I'm still on the job, and I would like to hear what Don's conclusion is, if he didn't fall asleep.
No,
I heard
no
the toilet.
No one fell asleep. No, I'm just listening just to see what we're gonna do after the election. We've got country to run. I know I do. I'm not. The giant bear has been awakened, if you will, and that's pretty much me and my family. It's time we can start doing the things that we need to do to get this country rolling for everyone, and that means that we have to make sure that our transition is smooth. That's why we have to talk between amongst us. We have to make sure that the things that our kids are learning are relevant and will allow them an opportunity to succeed. That, you know, we've got to make sure that this planet is going to stay here for another, 200 million years or whatever time frame we're in right now. You know, we're everything that a certain person touches, they destroy. When we realize that, that's something that will take us, we'll be able to determine where we need to go in the future. Elon Musk is ready to take us to Mars. Maybe that's our next stop.
Well, I'm ready to go in the spiritual transcendence. I don't really have a conclusion. I'm holding fast to certain principles that no matter the weakness of human beings, I still see strength in some of the major candidates, and I'm hoping the best of those qualities come out if Hillary Clinton wins. So with that, I'm going to end the show with John's song, New Way. If anyone has to hang up, I understand. Thanks for listening, and we have five more days or six. So, Don, I do want to congratulate you for hitting the pavement. And I know that you mean what
we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing 12 hours Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I hope that everybody, I honestly hope that there's a 60% voter turnout. Bear in mind, who's ever listening, that half the nation still doesn't vote. So let's try to get everybody out there, no matter who they're supporting.
And remember, it's rigged.
Well, let's rig it in the right direction. With that, I'll play New Way.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Everybody.
Since I met the Lord, got new way speaking, new way preaching since I met the Lord.
John, do you have any final words?
Oh, just vote for Trump. No, actually, final words
I
is follow
I'll
the
guess I'll be editing the show.
Just follow the truth wherever it leads you. Don't be afraid of the truth. Don't be afraid of the future. Just be what you need to be. Figure it out. God's in control. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's worse.
My final thought is that not in the two-party system, not all your values are going to match each party exactly. So, for example, care for creation, environmentalism, some people uphold that, but also those same people like the Catholics who believe in care for creation, they also are against homosexual families. So you just have to pick and choose your battles. With that, I'm in a better mood now that you and Don cheered me up, and I hope to survive the next 5 days.
It'll be a struggle, but you'll do it.
All right, good luck with your dog watching, etc. Good night.
Good night, America.
Night.